Greg Farrell is the president and CEO of Farrell Wealth and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good morning. The show is Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. And today we're going to talk long-term care. Have a great guest here that's going to help us kind of walk through the myths and some of the information about long-term care, why it's important to you and your family. But wanted to just sort of mention here today that it's a fantastic November, and we're excited to be here in Valparaiso, Indiana at WVLP 103.1 FM. The show is aired 10 o'clock on Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern on WVLP.org, also at farrellwealth.com. Again, the show is Money Matters with Greg. We talk money on this show and how we can actually help you save some money and maybe keep some of that hard-earned money that you have been putting away for a very long time. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. It's F-A-R-R-A-L-L. We spell it with A's and R's, unlike Will Farrell, who spells his name wrong. And it's Farrell Wealth, at Farrell Wealth. And then you can also call us in the show at 219-476-9000. WVLP is a nonprofit local radio station, and it is a 501c3. So if you're looking to advertise on this show or any of the shows at WVLP, we are happy to help you out as much as possible. We have a couple, another guest in from Denison University, our intern, Pearly Provost, is here with us today. You can see him stopping in the background of Facebook. We've posted on Facebook here. We have a Facebook page at Farrell Wealth, and you can certainly find us on there as well. Pearly's a pitcher for a baseball team at Denison, and helps us out at Farrell Wealth as an intern, and does a lot of great things for us virtually, which is great. So he can be in school and get some work done, learn some things about the financial services industry, and see if he ever wants to be a part of this. So anyway, the show was invented and basically designed a couple years ago to really kind of help you save some money. We've talked everything from real estate to mortgages, the market, and the markets. I want to run through those real quick for everybody and then get to R.G. Scadbird, who's here today along to talk about long-term care. And we're going to devote the entire show to that. We want to talk about what is long-term care. So just if you're on iTunes and you're in the podcast, here we go with explaining exactly what this show is going to be about. We're going to talk about what is long-term care. We're going to talk about why and where you can receive your benefits in long-term care. We're going to talk about some of the myths that go on with long-term care, and then also who's going to pay for it. That might be a good idea to be able to kind of walk through who actually is going to pay for long-term care, because as we see this aging population that we are in the United States, how are things going to be moved forward as far as that goes, as far as those expenses. But real quick, just want to talk about the markets. It has been a crazy 2 weeks, obviously, with the election. We mentioned it on the show last show, but also want to be able to mention today, going into the last week, following the Friday, basically was a straight week of gains. We've had investors taking cautious stance in early trading last week, but everything's really sitting, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are sitting near record highs. The recent enthusiasm that has been sort of tempered from a Trump presidency by the Federal Reserve Chair, Janet Yellen's strong signal that the market will likely raise rates in December. The S&P 500 notched a 0.5 gain on Friday. And that was led higher by financials at 1.3%, consumer discretionary, real estate, you name it. Asian treasuries continue to go up, so interest rates are rising. That is interesting to see just how that is affected. Before a Trump presidency was announced, interest rates in the 10-year were trading about 1.77. Now they're well up over 2.28. So if you haven't locked in your mortgage yet, I would highly recommend you do it immediately, because rates are going higher. And it's just interesting to see how things have changed as far as the makeup is for investments and where to go as far as sectors and what to look into. We're going to devote the next show to that entirely. and talking about the markets as to where to look for opportunities. But today, I want to follow up with long-term care. So, R.G. Scadburn, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Greg. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the invitation to be a part of the show.
Absolutely. Excited to have an elder care law expert on the show talking about long-term care. We are I'm licensed in long-term care as a firm. We sell long-term care policies without a doubt, but it's really nice to be able to have the law side of it here and talk about some of the things that you might require long-term care for, and that's everything from dementia, Alzheimer's, stroke, complications of diabetes, and other chronic kind of conditions. But just want to talk about really the greatest gift of long-term care insurance is it really allows loved ones to kind of supervise care and not have to provide your care. And it's just, it's just a nice thing to talk about. I think everybody should have some sort of policy out there. I'm a big advocate of it, big fan. And, it doesn't necessarily need to be a Mercedes-Benz policy, but certainly a Camry or a Corolla or something, because we are all aging every day. We are getting older every day, except for Pearlie, who's still in college. He's never going to age. But we do need to be thinking about this stuff. And we always talk about a plan, working to plan, and making sure that we have a plan and then work the plan overall. So passing it on to RG here and talking about it, tell us, what is long-term care exactly?
Well, long-term care is really the concept or the maybe the umbrella description to address that which is what someone needs during the balance of your lifetime. There may be times during your life where you're not really in high need, but there's things that start creeping up. So it's an in-place support mechanism, or I think what most people pigeonhole it into is that nursing home experience.
Right.
But there's a lot of room between I need a little help at home and of 24/7 care in a nursing home. But as you pointed out, it's important to plan all the way along that spectrum, because what we're seeing is there's a lot of people paying a lot of money everywhere along that. Or the other thing, and this is what breaks my heart about this situation, you have people that are trying to do it themselves. You have an aging couple, and you have one member of that couple that is rapidly declining in health, and the other one trying to carry the whole thing. And they are fiercely independent, and they don't want people to help them out. You know, they've lived their whole life independently. They just think they can do it all on their own. And you end up with the quote-unquote well spouse ending up sicker than the previously infirmed spouse because he or she runs, you know, this crazy schedule trying to take care of somebody. And when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to know how fast someone's health's fallen off. You know, it may start out very manageable, and then it just slowly gets harder and harder. But it's basically, you know, helping someone with issues with, you know, making sure that they're eating right, making sure that they're able to get around through the house, get to use the bathroom, making sure they're staying, their hygiene and things is okay. So there's a number of things that go into that long-term assessment. And there's obviously a number of things that can continue to drive those needs up, as you mentioned, dementia, physical shortfalls, just getting older.
Yeah, it is amazing. Most people don't realize that the person that needs cared for is one thing, but the person that is doing the caring and taking care of that person, they do age. They just
Absolutely.
Age over time because of the hard work that is entailed, with being able to have it. And, you have older people. Just a real quick stat here. Older people, long-term care, they have claims, right? But to someone that's 40% of long-term care claims are paid to someone under the age of 64 years old now. And a young and middle-aged person who suffered a debilitating illness or accident may also require care. So you start looking at, that's a pretty high percentage, you wouldn't think. It's not just people in their 70s or 80s or 90s that are taking claims of care or need care. 40% of those people are under the age of 64, which is huge.
Yeah. So, I was just working with a client in that circumstance where, kind of out of the blue, a diagnosis was made that found the husband with a chronic illness, and you find out. And you sort of start to react to it, but then it became very rapidly debilitating. He was in his late 50s, and both couple both the parties in the couple are still working full time. They have a child in high school, and suddenly this becomes, you know, a very, very important part of something that has to be dealt with. He, in the period of time that we started working with him, ended up in a nursing home in less than 2 months because the care level just deteriorated so quickly. Fortunately, we started working with both of them early in the process, and we were able to start to organize things, figure out where money was, make sure that we were taking care of wife and child, provide for a plan to get the highest level of care as quickly as we could for the husband. But, I mean, you just don't know how quickly it's going to fall off. And so you need to get out in front of it. And fortunately, he had his mental capacity to be able to sign documents so that we could actually give the wife the capacity to do all the planning necessary. But, you know, we run into people who don't have that.
Which is, when we start talking planning and having a plan, working a plan, really want to be able to make sure that you're asking yourself here, who would you want to care for you? Your children, your spouse, your qualified professional, a nurse? And how would this affect the lives of your loved ones and family? And then also, where would you like to receive the care? Your home, assisted living facility, community center, a nursing facility, your child's home, you name it. So where can I receive care? Like, RG, does it have to be in – I don't have to be in a nursing home, do I?
No, and I think that's one of the myths that people think is once you've reached a point where, the care need is high – a lot of people think, well, I don't want to go into a nursing home, but that's the only option. The reality is that is becoming less sort of mandated, and mandate's not even the right word, but more and more options are out there. I think one of the industries of growth that we've seen in our area, and as I look around other places in the state, this in-home care industry is rapidly growing. Now, a lot of it's private pay, and again, going back to what you were talking about financially, you've got to have the pieces in place in order to make sure that you've got the funding to cover that, whether it's a policy or you're cash flowing it through other means. But you can get care in all the places that you said, in your own home, as long as it's medically feasible. There's a lot of folks that we're starting to see where children are adding on to a home, or maybe they're buying a new home so that there's a separate area where mom or dad can come live with them. There's different tiers of living facilities. There's assisted living. There's different tiers within that. There's the full-blown 24/7 type care as well. So there's lots of different places. Again, it's about having a plan and the means to fund that plan. So you've got to get out in front of it. Even if it's not something that's currently in place, we're heading into Thanksgiving. This may not be the most exciting topic of conversation, but there's going to be a lot of family members together. And someplace in the mix, people need to know what people's wishes are. And, not a whole lot of people are going to stand up right away and go, at the first opportunity, make sure you put me in a nursing home. they're gonna want everything but that.
That's not something you talk about over stuffing.
Kids,
don't. White or dark meat.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, by the way, don't put me in a home.
Here's my preferred nursing home. Yeah, exactly. No, they want to get care in place, and whether that's in their own home or maybe you have to move to a different house that's more accommodating. If you're in a split level where you've got everything on different floors, that may not be the best arrangement, but maybe you can sell that house and downsize to a ranch or some of these senior created housing things. There's duplexes out there. There's places like Meridian Woods in our area that provide that continuum of care. But the places are designed for folks that may need a wheelchair. There's things that are specifically designed to be able to stay in a home environment versus having to, basically sell everything and go into a nursing home.
Some of the things that back to the caregivers real quick, I just want to be able to mention a couple different things. And again, the show is Money Matters with Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm. And we talk a lot about these types of things with our clients and many of their family members throughout our meetings and our relationship with our clients. Having RG Scabbard here today, and also I want to be able to mention your law firm. Do you want to go through? I can't too many names.
So,
I can't understand.
So we refer to ourselves as CCSK Law because when we all got together, we looked at our names and we said, "Wow, that's a lot." So the attorneys involved are Carr, Isaac Carr, Jordan Chelovich, myself, RG Scabbard, and Kurt Kazmierczak. So Carr, Chelovich, Scabbard, and Kazmierczak, was a bit of a mouthful. It's, I have to really think about it when I'm saying it.
I really appreciate you shortening the name.
Yeah, CCSK Law.
And we can find you at what website?
CCSKlaw.com. In fact, the new website's going live today. We're a new firm. As I was explaining to some folks, I say this all the time, we're all fairly young in the law. I'm the oldest of the bunch. I'm 50, so I've got a lot of experience. I've worked for a law firm for 5 years in estate planning and elder law. Went to law school and came out and really wanted to focus on this. And so we're new enough in the law. We haven't been jaded by it. We still think we can change the world and we can serve clients on a level that we think is client-focused, not law-focused. We're really trying to change the way law is delivered. We go out and meet people in their homes or in a coffee shop where we're not, you know, expecting everybody to come find us. And so it's been really good. We're really client, similar to you. You know, we're client focused, and we really want to do what we can to help people understand the law, not just say, here's your answer and go put this on the shelf.
And if you want to reach out to RG down the line, just you can either reach out to him or us as well, and we're happy to put you in contact with him if you've got some more questions.
Yeah, and so CCSK Law and some of the things we'll talk about, there's a link. I'll give you some information so you can find the links that we talk about as we go.
Cool. We're going to run through a number of different resources for you here on long-term care. We're talking long-term care on the show. First few minutes, we really wanted to kind of walk through what it is and then also just talk about a little bit about the caregivers and just how it affects them. Couple stats here that come from an LPL Insurance Associates booklet, and then also a number of different quotes here. This is from Genworth. Genworth is a large, very large insurance company. They do a lot of long-term care. They wrote a survey called Beyond the Dollars in 2013, and so these are 2013 stats, but still pretty amazing. That one-third of the caregivers had provided over 30 or more hours of care per week. That is reality. I mean, if you have a job, if your husband has a job, if your wife has a job, if it's dual income, suddenly you're contributing 30 hours a week to care of an elder, life changes. And it certainly changes. It's definitely something to consider. 53% of caregivers had lost income due to the demands of providing care. So 53%, so that's more than half, lose income because they go and do and care. 47% experience negative feelings such as depression because of the care. And then almost 60% of caregivers have had to cut their own discretionary spending to help loved ones cover these costs. So these are real life situations that you have to plan for, and that's why we do what we do and why we're talking about it today. And making sure that we can, you know, help you get some information, get the right information, and making sure that you can make informed decisions. So that being said, with RG here as an elder care lawyer, and really just that's all he does as far as focusing on elder care and how these things work, is basically walking through some of the myths. We mentioned one myth early, but walking through some of the other myths that are out there, can you kind of give us an idea on some of the things that people probably misconceive or don't know about or need to be corrected?
Probably one of the most common things that I hear, the most popular thing I hear is, you know, I heard the government took someone's house. You know, Sally's mom at church, she had to go into a nursing home and the government took her house. Now, the reality is the government can compel you to sell your house to try to pay for nursing home care. But if you have a plan that is, more forward thinking and getting ahead of it, there's ways that you can stop that from happening. Another one, you know, you hear this all the time, that someone blew through their entire life savings in an end-of-life circumstance, and you've left the maybe surviving spouse homeless or very little to live on. The reality is that nursing homes are expensive. In our area, and you mentioned Genworth, I'll say that once this website gets up, we are literally flipping the website live while we're speaking here. I was talking to my web guys in New York before I left, but Genworth has a great calculator that I put a link on the website to. We saw it with the guy from Pack Life a couple weeks ago. I had heard about it as well. But if you go to that website, you can plug in the region that you're living in and get a real-time cost of, based on real data in Indiana, what the cost of a nursing home on average is, which is about, A 24/7 nursing home is about $9,000 a year. I'm sorry, $9,000 a month. And that's for base level care. If you have extenuating circumstances like high levels of dementia where your need is higher, it's going to be more. A nursing home wants to charge that amount because it's a lot. Now, if you go down the road of trying to qualify for Medicaid, Medicaid wants to see you sick and broke. That's their formula. Now, you won't find that in their regulations. They don't call it that. And if you say that, they'll look at you kind of curious. But that's what it boils down to. They want to see you sick. There's a long-term care diagnosis by a physician or an assessment group. And then they want to see you broke, less than $2,000 in countable assets and less than $2,200 a month in income. So
real quick, I just want to explain that. So you're talking about a lot of people don't even understand the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Right. So there's a handoff point there.
Let's explain that real quick.
So Medicare is insurance. And if you're on Medicare right now, you're in your enrollment period. You should be looking at what your circumstances are going to be for the next year.
You're over 65 years old.
65. Right. You go on to Medicare. You've been paying into it for your entire working life. And now this is where you will benefit from it. You're going to want to look at your base A and B. Or C. Those are your options. Humana is a big push in the Advantage plan this year. United just flipped all the ArcelorMittal people to their Advantage plan. So you need to look at what these plans mean. And I can't really go into great detail because it's very personal. But understand, Medicare is health insurance. So that's going to cover your doctors and your hospitals. Now, there's a lot of people who think, if I get sick, I've got 100 days of Medicare before I even have to worry about a nursing home. And that is sort of true. You have 100 days if you prove you need it. But if at some point you're no longer making progress towards getting better, the hospital or the rehab center can say that Medicare is not appropriate, and they put you in private pay. Private pay means you're in a long-term care circumstance, or you're at home getting care. That is where, if you are not going to get better, Medicaid picks up. For some crazy reason, and I don't understand it, at the point when you go into what would be referred to as maintenance, meaning you're not getting better, there's no hope of actually improving to a full independent situation, our government takes you off Medicare and puts you on private pay, and if you can't private pay, then you go to Medicaid. I don't know the logic behind it, but Medicaid becomes your long-term care option, but you have to qualify for it.
So Medicaid's welfare.
You know what? It is and it isn't, because I think it is – certainly it's the insurance program for the poor. Mm-hmm. If you're 35 and you can't afford insurance, in Indiana we call it HIP 2.0, but that is our Medicaid plan. Now, but for the aged, blind, and disabled – Medicaid is the insurance or the plan that will pay for it. I don't pigeonhole it into welfare anymore because it's just what the government calls it, and we've paid into it over our lifetimes as well. And so if I can't afford to do it out of pocket, there are ways that you can get Medicaid to pick it up. Or, again, there are ways to leverage Medicaid and try to preserve some of the assets that you may have for your spouse. Or for kids that might need it or something along those lines. But, yeah, I hesitate to call it pure welfare at the aged and disabled level because it's really what the government says is the plan for how you're going to get assistance. It's kind of like what they've done with insurance for Medicare purposes. They've done long-term care with Medicaid. So you will hear people call it welfare. But I think at the aged and disabled level, it's just the government program that covers it.
Yeah, which gave it away for me is just the poor and broke thing.
That's right. So that's their qualification. No. But it's their definition.
Yeah, none of us want our clients to be poor and broke.
Right.
We want to be able to have options, which is why we have this conversation.
Exactly. And there are ways that you can. So when you look at the broke component, as I said before, it's 2,000 in countable resources. Well, there are things that aren't countable then. And so you can have resources that don't. If you're married, the well spouse's IRA doesn't count towards that countable resource packet. If that well spouse is living in a house, that doesn't count. One car. I mean, there's different things that don't count. There's ways to move assets into other categories so that they don't count. In that way, you can, again, make sure that a well spouse is taken care of control the spend down if it's just a single person, but also make sure that the person's getting the level of care necessary to be comfortable and to be properly taken care of.
And really, back to this whole thing, I know I mention it all the time and harp on it all the time, but you know, it is about making a plan and having a plan and then working the plan. And too often, what we see, and RG can certainly enforce this too, is long-term care conversations come way too late for many families, which leave them scrambling for options and resources when a loved one has an LTC event.
Right.
And planning ahead for potential LTC needs it really is crucial in protecting a family's financial, emotional, and physical health.
Yeah.
So that's why we're trying to be able to make sure you're thinking about this, you're talking about this, and basically you're considering maybe the four reasons you consider long-term care, which would be, you know, it gets you care you need in a setting of your choice. You get to pick and choose, which is all about options. You get to be able to have it helps you maintain your independence. It also helps you protect your retirement assets, which is what we talk about all the time on this show, and making sure that we're protecting and preserving. Look, there's growth and creation of wealth, but there's also protect and preservation of wealth. We always talk about distribution of wealth in a lifetime and distribution of wealth after death, but those are all choices that you can have. So it really helps you protect your retirement assets, and also it helps relieve any financial caregiving pressure on your family. So when we're talking with RG here, we're talking about who will pay for long-term care. So it's not going to be health insurance. It's not going to be Medicare. It's going to be Medicaid in some sort of circumstances, and it's going to be family and you.
Right.
So real quick before we go to break, I want to be able to mention a couple things. Americans spend over $48 billion on long-term care expenses for themselves or family members. And by 2050, that could exceed as much as $135 billion. That's why we bring this up. Caregiving shortage has already started on the steep decline. You're not seeing people being able to caregive just because of their age. You're seeing an increase of 4.5% annually in cost. The average cost of a one-year stay in a nursing home will increase from $81,000 to $146,000 a year by the year 2030. And planning for long-term care overall, 70% of people turning 65 expect to have some sort of long-term care during their lives. These are legitimate statistics. They come from American Council of Life Insurers. They come from AARP, the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, and also LIMRA and Life Happens, which did another insurance barometer study back in 2015. So these are recent. And I just want to be able to bring them up. That's why we feel as though it's so important to be able to bring this to you today. The show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. And the show you can catch on iTunes. You can go download podcast. This will be up within a week or so after we push it through compliance and hopefully don't have any dings. As long as RG behaves himself and doesn't say anything bad, we should be good.
I'll try.
We're talking long-term care here with RG Skadberg, and wanting to be able to make sure you understand these things that are really important is who will care for you when you can't care for yourself. We'll be right back in a bit. We're going to take a quick sip of coffee. Find us on Twitter at Farrell Wealth. Listen to us at farrellwealth.com and wvlp.org, and we'll be right back in a bit. Thanks. All right, thank you, Steve Miller. Take the money and run. Show's Money Matters with Greg, and Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. It's a wealth management firm that's local here in Valparaiso, Indiana, where we raise our children under the lights of Midwestern charm. And we're also in a number of states, over 15, 16 states now, nationwide. We're clients all over the nation. So if you're listening nationwide, and many of our listeners are, I want to be able to make sure that you understand that every state is different when we start talking long-term care. We're talking long-term care with R.G. Skadberg of
CCSK Law.
CCSK Law. I have it over here. I have it written down. You'd think I'd know to look for it.
That's all right.
CCSK Law. And you can find their new website at ccsklaw.com.
Correct.
Is that where we're looking?
Yep.
And we're talking elder care law. We're talking elder care and long-term care. So I want to be able to make sure you understand. We went through kind of the myths. We went through why it is. And now I want to know when a policy, what exactly, when does a policy start? And also, where is we know where the care can be provided. We talked about nursing home, home health care. Many people want to stay at home. 95% of the people that you meet, they all want to stay at home. They want to.
Right.
They don't want to go away. They want to stay at their house. They want to have things retrofitted around their house to be able to have some care. And they would like an opportunity to be able to do that of being at home and staying at home. So there's really no place like home. And most long-term care policies and services are provided in the home. And you can actually have a policy that's tailored much more towards that and make sure you qualify. But when does a policy start? When will a policy actually pay for care?
So if you have been on the front side of this, and unfortunately, and you probably know this, but like the number of people who have actually purchased plans in an insurance capacity is in the single digits. I mean, it's low single digits that actually have invested in long-term care.
You're right.
But there are other folks that may have partial plans and things of that nature that may kick in. One of the big things that I'm a fan of, we've talked about these new hybrid plans that sort of take the edge off of putting all your money in a standalone long-term care plan, but instead, you know, you've got some insurance component, some long-term care component. So those are – not only are those positive because you're not throwing all your eggs in one basket that you may never use, but – the qualifications are easier and the opportunity to help is greater. But when does it trigger? There are there's a measurement, a scale of called eight activities of daily living, and all these policies are driven by your deficiencies in activities of daily living. About six, you'll see them defined in slightly different ways, but it goes to the ability to feed yourself, to be able to get around without human assistance, to be able to use the bathroom without human assistance, to maintain hygiene, to get out of bed, to get dressed. If you have a deficiency in three of those, that's where Medicaid would declare you, or most nursing homes would declare you as a long-term care qualify for long-term care. Now, these long-term care policies, though, usually trigger at two of those. So if you have a deficiency in two of those and you've got one of these policies sitting there, it's important to let somebody know, because a lot of them have what are called elimination periods, and it could be 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, where they say, okay, on November 1st, we agree you qualified for long-term care help, but you've got 90 days before we're going to give you any support. Now, in that 90-day period of time, some of the policies will have money that can go toward preparing your home. Maybe you need to put in a ramp. Maybe you need to change some things in the bathroom. Maybe you want to take out transitions in floors so you're not having the trip hazards. So there's usually a pocket of money that they'll put towards that. But that's something else to take into account. There may be more than $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 in stuff that you'll need to do in your home. So as we're talking about care in place or staying in your home, you know what? It might not be the home you've lived in for 20 years, but it's still a home that maybe you shift to that's more actually functional for you. You don't need 3,000 square feet on three floors. You need 1,800 on a ranch style with ramps and hard floors and wide bathrooms and things of that nature. So those are the things you have to take into account. And you want to be on the front side of it. So the earlier the better, if you're actually going to look at some of these long-term care policy type things or hybrid policies, because like all insurance, it's going to be cheaper if you get in sooner. The qualifications are set, and you're probably in better health at 62 than you are at 82, though I look at myself at 50 and there's people who are 82 in better health than I am. So, it's going to be personal and it's going to take some time, and you may not qualify for one. You may need to try something else. So it is one of those sooner is better, but that doesn't mean give up, because there are policies that will take you at 70 or you know where you might be. And even if it's not the full coverage, if you can get part of the coverage paid for it. So as we talked about $9,000 in a nursing home, it may still be $4,000 or $5,000 a month, $3,000 or $4,000, depending on what your care needs are at home to get supplemental care. And I think that's the other thing people need to understand. We're still going to have a primary caregiver in the home, and maybe a spouse, it may be a child, but you're going to get supplemental care over the top of that to help pay for someone to come in and watch the person while the other person goes to the store, or while the other person just goes out and gets away from the house for a little bit. That's going to be important to maintain that person's health. It may be that you need assistance physically with physical therapy, or you need assistance with helping someone get bathed, or whatever it might be. Those are the things that you have to understand. If you're bringing that person into your home, that's going to cost money. And that's the way you're going to be able to stay in the home longer, is to have that supplemental care come in. One of the other things that, just to kind of throw out there, and I'll let you pick up where you want to pick up, Medicaid understands that it's cheaper for them to do in-home care than it is to have someone sitting in a 24/7 facility. So there in Indiana, I'll say that specifically, Indiana, there is a push for care in place. Never heard that term, and then I heard it 80 times in a weekend seminar. But care in place is this big move, and Medicaid, will become that supplemental provider if you qualify to allow the person to stay in the home longer. By their own statistics, a couple of years ago, they could take care of three people in the home for the cost of one person in a facility. So finally someone said, maybe we should pursue this. And so they are starting to do more what are called waivered services in the home. So even if you don't have a long-term care plan and maybe you can't afford private pay, maybe we can get you qualified to get those Medicaid services in the home. And again, what that's about for me, getting the right care to the person that needs it, but also protecting that caregiver spouse or that caregiver child from getting very sick or worn down, or as you were talking about, depression, overwhelmedness, whatever it might be, where they start to lose, you know, their ability to be the best they can be.
One of the stats I mentioned was 70% of the people that are going to go into retirement when they are in 65, when they turn 65 or older, anticipate that they will pay in some sort of long-term care or have to pay for long-term care. However, I will have to say this, and this is a straw poll that just comes from me being in the business and being around and talking long-term care to many of the people out there in the world. 70% of the people, it's much less that are willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
It's zero.
Right. So nobody wants to pay.
Nobody wants to pay for it, yet 70% think that they will ultimately need it.
Okay? Right.
So it's expensive. It has a tendency to have that sort of myth of being very overly expensive. But tell me, you know, let's talk about when should you buy and some of the tips on saving on premiums, because that's basically the biggest determinant. Is I would rather put money away, which is great, and that's what we talk about on the show all the time, is saving for yourself and saving emergency funds, putting money away. But when should you buy? Is there a time where you should buy? And then also, any tips on saving on premiums?
I think the biggest savings thing that you can do and you didn't pay me to say this, have an advisor relationship. because there's the law, and we create containers and buckets, right? But we don't get into, well, I don't.
There's some for it, right?
Right, right. It is, you know, during your lifetime, in your working life, and you have this working thing and you're putting money away, maybe that's an okay time to have an 800 number relationship with whoever's got your money. But at some point, you're going to have to sit across the table from someone and say, here's my concern. You see my money. How does this work? And obviously, again, as I said earlier, the younger you start, the better chance you're going to have at a better premium. But there's no guarantee that at 63, you're not going to bump into an issue versus 83. So if something is diagnosed at 63, you've jumped the bridge at that point. You're not going to be able to get the best.
You might become what's called uninsurable.
Right. Yeah.
Most people don't realize, I mean, everyone's perfect. Everyone's going to live forever.
Right.
But, you know, because rates are based on age and health,
right,
it is best to kind of start shopping for a policy when you're young and healthy. I know that makes sense.
And even understanding what the options are, because, again, go back 5 years, the only option were these big heavy long-term care policies that were hard to qualify for. There was a whole lot of companies that aren't even in the business anymore in that, I mean, we talk about Genworth. Genworth and John Hancock are the only Indiana partnership programs left. When they started that thing, I think there were five or seven programs that you could buy into, and you could get unlimited programs. So if you've got those, do everything you can to keep them, because they're golden policies that no one can buy anymore. But now you're going to buy into a policy that's expensive if it's a straight-up LTC program. And it's going to have a cap on it, 3 years or whatever it might be. But there are other options now in the marketplace. They have found these ways to create these hybrids or tripler or whatever your company calls it. But you certainly want to start sooner. I think the other thing, and this is, if you're married, start while you're both living in good health, because an insurance company can hedge its bets across both of you over time, and you can, you know, there may be two separate premiums for both of you based on health and age and things of that nature, or maybe it's just a combined premium.
Or even partners. You don't necessarily need to be married, so it's a couple or a partner.
Right. So certainly you want to – this is – and I say that – I've been saying it for years. You want to have somebody that you have already – developed a trust relationship with, so that when you're sitting across the table and you express your concerns to someone who knows this business, like Greg, they know you, you know them, and you know they're not going to try to wedge you into something that's not appropriate. But they need to know where your concerns are so they can give you the portfolio of options that are in front of you. And again, that portfolio is growing. The LTC marketplace itself is getting tighter and more expensive, but a lot of other companies are coming in and creating these other programs that are more affordable, maybe a little bit easier to qualify for. But again, you can't qualify if you've already got, you know, a devastating diagnosis. I mean, at that point, it's going to be too late. So don't wait.
So some of those things, and please don't wait. I want to mention about some ways that you can actually get coverage outside of an advisor relationship or using someone that actually is licensed and knows all the ins and outs of LTC. But, you know, buying young was key. And then also, if you're healthy, you might get preferred. Usually you get preferred discounts as well. Plus couples and also spouses, as far as partners, domestic partners, all can apply for coverage together. That also helps. And also they have a tendency to offer multi-generational families or siblings who all reside together as well. There's ways to be able to get discounts for that. And then you also have these starter policies where just doing something, getting something started can always sometimes add additional coverage down the road. Is a great way to kind of buy a supplemental plan and kind of complement your initial policy as well. These are cheaper ways to be able to make sure you're saving some money. And that's what we do on this show. The show is Money Matters with Greg. And I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and President of Farrell Wealth. And this is a financial literacy show just trying to help you save some money. Today we're saving you money on long-term care with R.G. Scadbird. And he is doing a great job in being able to explain all this. He's an elder law. You can get a hold of him through our show at 219-476-9000. You can tweet us at Farrell Wealth. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes as well, and be able to make sure you always find RG at ccsklaw.com. And wanted to be able to talk about some of the things that, you know, basically give you some tips on some of the ideas of being able to save for some more money. Three ways to kind of get coverage is a little bit different. You can obviously go through an insurance professional, right? You can do, you know, basically have the guidance, just like you mentioned. You can help you shop around for the best policy among multiple carriers. There are less amount of carriers in the business nowadays because it is so costly. But you also, you can go through your employer, right? I mean, if you're employed per se, do you get
long-term care? That's where I think the long-term care, when it came on the scene, and I did some research on this a couple years ago because I was trying to figure out why long-term care was, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then all of a sudden everybody was out of the business. The big push initially was, you know, let's say John Hancock goes to Ford and said, hey, for a couple of bucks a month per person, you can add this option. Right. And what happened was they came in at a time when all these big companies were cutting coverages and cutting programs and such. So, you know, the way that they were going to try to cover their high-end costs was mass, and mass didn't happen. So that's why you saw a lot of them get out. So there are still a few employers. The federal government has, if you're a federal government employee, they have a program. The state has a program. I think you can You can get a supplement to insurance as well. So there are still some employers that do have it, but, you know, unfortunately in the world, there's not a lot of people working for big employers that include it in a package. You know, insurance in and of itself is going up so much that it's hard to cover.
Many of those, too. I mentioned it. You know, you might want to look into it and certainly see if your employer
check.
Has.
Yeah, certainly check.
You know, those plans are obviously pre-selected. There's not a lot of choices, but it does offer payroll deduction, have it come right out of your check. And it is typically easier to enroll and qualify for it because it is a larger type group. So,
and there are tax benefits to buying these LTC programs as well. So look in your state. Look, there's a federal cap and there's a state cap on what you can deduct each year towards your premiums that you pay.
So there you go, having another teammate and your accountant being able to make sure that you do qualify for those federal tax incentives, that if you buy a federally qualified policy, your insurance premiums can be deducted as part of your medical expenses. And are received tax-free. So that's really, really good. You know, we're not accountants on this show, nor do we play one on TV, but it's the truth, and it's out there as far as federal tax incentives. State tax incentives, majority of states have a sort of a state tax incentive for residents. I recommend you check into that in your own personal state. Here it's Indiana, sorry, it's IN.gov. Would be the website you would go to. And then also you have incentives as business owners. There are tax advantages for businesses to buy long-term care. And there's premiums for those tax-qualified policy paid for employees or dependents. You know, you obviously want to consult with your tax advisor to fully understand those benefits. But there are some advantages that kind of come about that kind of help you. Tell me, RG, as we sit here and talk and follow up in the last 10 minutes as we go through here, there are so many key features and benefits to a long-term care policy. I don't really get most of them. Can you kind of run through some of the things that I need to be, when I hear these things, I need to be, if I'm shopping for a long-term care policy, what are some of the things I want to make sure that I'm getting the best policy that's for me and for my family?
Everything's built on a daily rate. So there's a couple of different ways that that'll be set. It will be when you start your policy, it will say your daily rate of reimbursement, whether you're in-home or in a nursing home, there's a base rate that everything starts at. Now, one of the features that you can add is an escalator that follows inflation. So if I signed up for a policy in 2003 and it was $120 a day, what's that in 2016? Well, if you didn't get the escalator, it's still $120, but the going rate is closer to two. So that's something to be aware of when you're signing up for that policy. You can have this sort of inflationary follower that will increase your daily rate. And the reason that daily rate's important is because it sets a lot of the other coverages. So you'll want to make sure you understand what your daily rate is, what the caps are. As I said, some of these programs now have out-of-pocket caps. Like over a period of years, we're going to pay either a number of years, a number of months, or a total out-of-pocket expense. So be aware of what the caps are. Again, this is not something – if you have a very old plan, some of them didn't have caps, but I promise you everything else you're buying now is going to have some sort of a cap to it. That elimination period, understand – once you qualify, is it 30, 60, 120? I saw one that was a full year elimination period, but it was a secondary plan. But you need to know dollars aren't coming to me until that elimination period is completed. There are ways that you can cover additional expenses, some things that are covered, some things that aren't. So just be aware of what's covered, what's not, what the rate of reimbursement is on some of those things. And because, again, a lot of things are going to be built on that daily rate, but what does it cover? Equipment-wise, service-wise, are there things that aren't covered that you think might be important? One of the upsides of that long-term care policy is those policies is that they are going to cover in – a lot of them will cover in-home – at a flat rate, and you'll want to make sure that you understand what that is. As we talk about, those expenses, you have the person that may be the primary caregiver that's a son or daughter or a spouse, but you're going to be bringing in someone else, and they're going to be charging someplace in the neighborhood of $20 to $40 an hour, depending on the level of care and their skill set. And so you want to make sure that you've got those things covered. So those are some of the basic things that you're going to want to look at. I think CAPS is the big part, and daily reimbursement elimination period. Those are the really key things you're going to look at. And then a lot of things you're going to have other variables as well.
Real quick with an elimination period, just so everybody understands, that would be like a 30 or a 60 or a 90-day waiting period.
Correct.
As to when you can finally turn things on.
Right.
And
but you have to – it triggers on your eligibility. So
correct.
As we talked about – two activities of the deficiency and two activities of daily living, you got to get that documented the way they want it documented. Some are going to use a doctor, some have their own nurse that comes in. So you've got to figure out how that declaration is made that you've reached the point of eligibility, and then know that you're not going to get paid for a while.
We also mentioned, or I want to mention, you get a free look period, you get a 30-day time frame kind of after you purchase a policy. If
right.
You just basically say, you know what, I'm out. And then another really big key thing you want to be looking for is guaranteed renewability. We see a lot of these policies, they're basically able to be canceled over time. You get sick, and then they ultimately get canceled. Look, your policy with this guaranteed renewability, you cannot be canceled, and the premiums cannot be increased unless all policies of that type within the particular state are increased together. So that's a really big thing to be able to make sure you have guaranteed renewability. And then also non-forfeiture provision, which is basically, you know, if an insurer increases the premiums beyond a specific percentage, policyholder has the option to retain it at a reduced level of benefit. So you can lower right. the benefit, keep the premium the same, and not have to come out of pocket. And if people want a fixed income, this is key because, you know, in retirement, your fixed income isn't going up anymore,
right.
especially with interest rates.
You got a whole $4 more this year from Social Security.
Woo! It's the first increase in how many years?
A couple.
Like seven,
yeah, we were
years?
Frozen for
eight
a
years.
Couple, yeah.
So, you know, obviously there are exclusions. You have something that RG just mentioned as well is keeping up with inflation. You really want to consider those options that are available to kind of grow the benefits. You're going to have examples of inflation options, and I just want to be able to mention these real quick. Inflation linked to the insurer's investment returns. You got CPI, which is Consumer Price Index, linked to inflation. You have like a 3 or 4 or 5% simple inflation. You have a 3 or 4 or 5% compound inflation. These are all going to cost more after each other, but you need to have something. So guaranteed purchase option as well. You sort of have a limited right to purchase more coverage with no new underwriting as well. These are all things you want to be taking advantage of as you get a policy. And that's it's also, you know, kind of the whole thing, at least get started. Dip your toe in the shallow end of the pool. Start putting some money away, and you can always increase those benefits as time goes on once you work with a relationship with a firm, with a group, let's say like the names we mentioned. We've mentioned Pack Life. We've mentioned John Hancock. Those are just MetLife. There's a number of different companies that are still in the business of long-term care, even though they've changed, right?
Yeah, and just sort of, I guess, from the self-serving side of the conversation, it is imperative that you get legal documentation in place too, because you may have these policies in place, but if you don't have someone equipped with the legal documentation to have a conversation with Greg, Greg can't do anything
right.
until you go to court and have a guardianship appointed, which is expensive and time-consuming and not what you want to be dealing with when you're already dealing with the emotional issues of, you know, a spouse or a parent in this situation. So there are some powers of attorney. And here's something else about powers of attorney. Laws change. The wording changes. So if you've got 10-year-old powers of attorney, they need to be revisited. They need to be updated. Indiana just added something to its power of attorney last year. It made a substantial change to the power of attorney a couple of years back. So you want, and banks and financial institutions have a lot of pressure on them to make sure that they're talking to the right person with the right power. So that's what we do on the legal side. We make sure that the documents are in place to allow those people to do what they need to do. One other thing I'll throw out there when we talk about a planning perspective, when you've got a child taking care of a parent, there's a way that child can be reimbursed for those efforts you were talking about. And it's true, the millions, if not billions of dollars that are being taken out of the economy because these people are giving up work time to take care of a parent. There are ways that we can structure contractual arrangements between parents and children to make sure that child gets paid. Maybe it's not every day, but maybe you're accumulating hours. So if you had to go into a Medicaid spend down, the child gets paid first based on the hours that they put in. So there's lots of things that you can do on the planning side, on the legal side. Certainly a lot of things you need to do on the planning side if you're looking at a policy to help cover some of these expenses.
We're going to talk about next steps right towards the end, but I want to mention, and we've run up against time here, really wanted to talk about the hybrid policies that are out there in the industry now. and how long-term care insurance is linked to life insurance or an annuity is something to seriously consider. Whether it's right for you, obviously, it's a whole other conversation, and it's going to change for everybody. But there is a new group of policies out there. There are new groups of policies out there from a number of different institutions that are helping you, you know, really for those people that are concerned about the future of long-term care needs, and they're just not convinced that the traditional policies are going to be a solution. They have the frustration that those policies are going to be paid out and they're never going to need them and they're going to waste all this money. This is a way to be able to actually recoup some of that with a life insurance benefit. And even though life insurance may be, you know, it might be a high priority for the family, and over time, you know, life insurance might diminish. You know, it just depends on your own situation. So these policies sort of allow to serve both needs overall, and they're really fantastic options to at least think about overall and overall time. So some of the next steps, I want to talk with R.G. Scadbert here, which is doing a great job, is basically having the conversation with your family and making sure that you're talking about these objectives. Talking with this financial advisor or some sort of team member, whether it be a tax accountant, a tax advisor, a financial advisor, investment advisor, overall planning, you name it, making sure that you're at least talking with someone that understands what these are, and then creating a written plan of care, and that goes along with your estate planning documents, making sure that those are in, you have medical power of attorney. You have what's called an MPA, which is a medical power of attorney. You have a living will. You have a last will and testament, or you have some sort of direction. You don't necessarily always need a trust. Those are things you want to be able to talk about.
Right.
That's really up to you, right?
Yep.
So, and then also finding out what coverage is in your area, and then see if you can medically qualify for insurance benefits as well. I'm going to rattle off a couple different sites here towards the end, but RG, in the last minute, I know we're up against time here. Tell us, what is your best advice for someone out there right now who's considering long-term care?
Start the conversation. I tell people, I'll come out to a knitting group, a Bible study, or a family reunion to have this conversation with people, because I think it's imperative that people understand what the needs are and get the legal documents in place so that these other things can be actually taken care of if something happens. I think there's five essential documents that everybody needs. You touched on a couple of them. If you go to the CCSKlaw.com/radio. I have one download there. I'm actually going to change the download to the five essential documents that everybody needs. And it describes them, talks about why you need them, and gives you the like plain English description of them. So I'll offer that to people. There's no charge. And then the links that we talked about, some of them that I think are also helpful that maybe we didn't touch on, but they're good sources for you.
So for RG here, I just want to thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate the opportunity.
It. Thanks for being here. And thanks for enlightening us here as something that we really am passionate about and making sure that everyone has some sort of care out
Absolutely.
There. Some of the resources that are available to you at Medicare, at Medicare.gov, cost of care survey, which is really good. It's at genwork.com/cost of care.
I'll have that link on my radio page.
And that's ccsklaw.com.
/radio.
ccsklaw.com/radio. And then Guide to LTC as well is www.guidetolongtermcare.com. I'm sure that'll go up on your website as well as time goes on. But those are some of the resources we've used today. Also want to thank a number of different providers that have put out things and to be able to help with the conversation that we had today as far as Genworth. You can find many of these stats at genworth.com. Also, johnhancock.com. Also, PacPacificLife.com. Those are all fantastic resources for you that are out there in the industry. Again, we're just trying to help here. This is basically something that you really need to be able to make sure you're finding out the cost of your care in your area. That's at LifeHappens.com. If www.LifeHappens.com/long-term care costs, that'll give you the benefits for your individual state and then maybe your individual county as well. To find out how much these things cost. Okay, so the show's Money Matters with Greg. I'm Greg Farrell, CEO and president of Farrell Wealth. We talk money on this show. We try to save you some money so you can keep more money and make sure you preserve more money. And that's why we talk long-term care here today with RG. Thanks again.
Thanks, Greg.
I really appreciate it. And looking forward to a great week. Everyone have a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. We're very thankful for WVLP.org at 103.1 FM, and very thankful for all that they do for the community, and it's a wonderful organization. So please help support it when you can, and have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Greg Farrell is the president, CEO of Farrell Wealth, and is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. The opinions of Greg and his guests are merely opinions. All individuals should get their proper advice investing and managing their personal finances. Money. Get back.